This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Today, as we keep in our hearts the people of Louisiana and Mississippi who have lost homes and loved ones in the hurricane, we feature music and memories of New Orleans. We'll be listening back to archive performances and interviews with three great musicians from the city, Harry Connick Jr., Alan Toussaint, and Dr. John. With us throughout the show will be Nick Spitzer, who you probably know as the host of the Public Radio International music series, American Roots. He's also the former Louisiana State folklorist. His home and studio are in New Orleans. He and his family evacuated to Lafayette, Louisiana, where he joins us from today in the studio of radio station KRVS. Nick, welcome to Fresh Air. What do you know about your home and your studio?
Well, the studio is on the fairly high ground of the French Quarter, the natural levee land, near the levee of the Mississippi. And I'm told there's not much water in the quarter, a little poem there. We're 20 feet off the ground with our studio. And yet I don't know if an intruder might have since come in the door or an intruder named Katrina had come in through the windows and soaked all of our tapes and LPs and 45s and books and artworks that we've got there. I did put 6 twists of a coat hanger on the door at the end, knowing that the usual alarm system wouldn't be on with AC. So it's kind of like a champagne bottle there. If anyone's untwisted those coat hanger turns, I'll know they've been in. As far as my house, I live uptown, also on the natural levee, near the river, and I'm told that area has many trees down, a lot of houses with roof damage, but not water. So, we won't know until we can get in there what the sitch is for anybody personally.
You're staying in Lafayette now. Are there a lot of other evacuees there too?
Lafayette's a town I've come to a lot over the years. It's the cultural center of French Louisiana. I worked here in the 70s and 80s quite a bit, and it's boomed and bust over the years with the oil industry, and it had been really growing, but I'm told that 40,000 more people will come to this city, which I think is around 180,000 people normally, and it's crazy here because everywhere you turn, people need diapers and clothes and houses, and there's lines for rentals, and people are taking it with pretty good cheer. But I think the mini hurricanes, the social hurricanes, are spinning out into to Baton Rouge and Lafayette and on to Texas and all over the country, little by little. And we're pretty close, so we notice many evacuees, and we see ourselves in the mirror every day and say we're those people too.
Nick, as a folklorist, what are some of the parts of the cultural disaster that you've been most worried about?
Well, the most obvious thing is concern about, the artists and what happens if you're a Mardi Gras Indian, a cultural celebrant. You can't really be a Mardi Gras Indian unless you're walking from your neighborhood to somebody else's neighborhood in New Orleans. I mean, you can go out and put it on a stage somewhere, but it's very much part of community life. If you play jazz, you might tour the world, but you still need to go back and play Donna's or Vaughn's or Rock and Roll. All this art is situated in an historic a set of neighborhoods and families. And then at the most basic level of life, New Orleans is a city of kinship networks, maybe stronger than a lot of cities. It's more like a big country town. Many people have stayed there for generations, haven't migrated out. And so when you break up family networks, when they all migrate to the Four Winds, or if there's a federal policy, I've heard some discussion of just, moving people to, X, Y, and Z states, you bust up those networks. And those networks, family and neighborhood, are the ones that make New Orleans able to express itself as it does in music, where you get a mixing and mingling of, downtown African and Creole sensibilities with uptown European points of view. That's still going on. Those creative minglings of the cultures and classes are still happening. But I don't see how it can happen if half, the people are in Lafayette and then some are in Dallas and then some are, back in Philadelphia. Dispersing people from that pot of creativity, that vernacular creativity, I think is a really problematic thing. They need to be together on the landscape somewhere and have some shared sense to keep doing some of these things.
One of the great musicians in New Orleans who is Fats Domino, who was so important in early rock and roll. Have you been in touch with him since the hurricane? And what can you tell us about how he got out?
Well, I haven't spoken with Fats directly. I talk to him occasionally, and he's got a very tight little family circle and one or two key people, a woman named Ida LaFay, interestingly enough, an uptown white lady who is good friends with him. And Ida's kind of kept me informed. But we were all very concerned because when Fats was touring in the mid-60s, when Hurricane Betsy came through, apparently there was like 6 feet of water in his house. He lives in the lower Ninth Ward, close to where he grew up, Creole-speaking Antoine Domino. And he wasn't home, and his wife gave him quite a bit of harassment out of not being home for the hurricane. And anyway, he pledged that from then on he would be around. And so he sat through some pretty big hurricanes with a family of kids, and then they grew up and left. But they still live in this compound of sort of shotgun houses and a big old house there. And he didn't leave, and people pleaded with him to leave. And my understanding, I got out on Nightline and just said, where's Fats? If Fats is lost, you know, that will be so demoralizing to every culture class person in that city. And a couple other people started pushing it and trying to get the various rescuers into him or some kind of team to find him. And they did locate him at right where he lived, down at Caffin Avenue on St. Claude. And it's right near that industrial canal break people have been looking at. And sure enough, the house was, you know, up to the roof in water. But there's a little balcony on the second floor, and I understand he went up there, and a bunch of them did, and he got out by boat, came to the Superdome. You know, they realized it was Fats Domino. He doesn't need any driver's license or credential. And then I understand he got airlifted to Baton Rouge and LSU campus. They housed him there for a while. But when he got out, I know a huge cheer went out, a kind of a silent cheer. We all knew everywhere you went, oh, Fats is alive. You know, sort of the hidden Buddha, king of rhythm and blues, has escaped the storm. So that lifted our spirits.
Are there other musicians you've been in touch with or whose stories you've been closely following?
Well, it's difficult to keep up. There are websites. Most people are wherever they've gone are just taking care of basic necessities of figuring out how and where to live. And so I know of people. I know that Eddie Bowe, the R&B pianist, is right here near me in Lafayette. My friend Henry Butler, a piano professor, as we call him, is up near Monroe. I understand Alan Toussaint got out and got up to New York. I'm like everybody else. I'm just keeping track of websites and television and, you know, word of mouth. But I don't think we have that coherent a network for where everyone is yet.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Nick Spitzer. He's a folklorist who you also probably know as the host of the public radio program American Roots. And we've asked him to be with us today to talk a little bit about New Orleans music. And Nick, we're going to be hearing interviews from our archive with various great New Orleans musicians, several of whom we recorded at the piano. And the first person we're going to hear from is Dr. John, Mac Rebenack, also known as Dr. John, whose persona as Dr. John was this like mix of voodoo and psychedelia. Mm-hmm. He developed that in the 1960s. But there's also, you know, he also like loves Hoagie Carmichael, and you can hear that mm-hmm. in his own songwriting and in his piano playing. How would you describe his place in New Orleans music and culture?
Dr. John is absolutely beloved. You will not find people speaking badly of Dr. John unless they're, you know, maybe federal narcotics agents of about a generation ago or something like that. I mean, he's cleaned up and is living well, lives in New York City now most of the time. Dr. John is beloved because he really is part of that whole European-descended working class, partly Alsatian, German. He's a mix of things, and he's proud of that. And, you know, he is one of the white musicians who's famous for paying his dues down there with Cosmo Matassa and learning from seeing the sessions of the 50s of rhythm and blues of Fats Domino and others. And he plays a piano style that is kind of old New Orleans with that classical pop inflection into R&B and soul. And, you know, he represents the mingling of people and culture in a very positive way in the city. And, you know, no one begrudges that he became the voodoo rock and roll guy. Everyone thinks it's both a little funny and at the same time, you know, a wonderfully spiritual trip for him. So Dr. John is beloved for his music and just the way he talks.
Now, Dr. John in this tape is going to mention Professor Longhair, and in fact, nearly everyone on today's show is going to mention Professor Longhair. So tell us a little bit about Professor Longhair.
Well, you have to love Professor Longhair's name, just the whole idea of, in a sense, making a little fun of high culture, you know, that he's a professor. He's no professor. And long hair, he actually didn't have long hair. But the idea is that he might play long hair music a la classical. But Professor Longhair, Henry Bird, who's now passed away, really was a kind of a one-man piano universe. It mingled the sort of trills and turns of the parlor player and the classical player with rhythm and blues and parade beat music and all kinds of things. And he's sort of the individual that sort of unites all these disparate cultural styles. And the whole idea of being the piano professor goes back to the turn of the century body house players that, you know, could play you a little Hungarian Rhapsody and then turn around and rock the joint. And he is the seminal figure of the late 40s, 50s, and into the 60s that everyone looked to for something that was unique but also felt rooted in the collective.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Today we're featuring memories and music of New Orleans. Our guest throughout the show is Nick Spitzer, the host of the public radio series American Roots and the former Louisiana state folklorist. His home and studio are in New Orleans. He evacuated with his family to Lafayette, Louisiana, where he's speaking to us from today. Nick, the next musician we're going to hear from today probably needs no introduction, Harry Connick Jr. He's he's on the jazz charts. He's a very well-known jazz musician. What is how is he thought of in New Orleans, his hometown? And I should mention that, you know, his father was the district attorney in New Orleans for 29 years before retiring in 2003. So what is Harry Connick Jr. known for in the city? What's his reputation there?
Well, I don't think anyone really begrudges him the fact that his father was the sheriff. I think because he's such a sweet person and he's been so thoughtful and giving, and anybody that pays his musicians as well as he does, everyone hears about that and likes him for that. You know, he's kind of like the kid who's made it out and is good. But, you know, the interesting thing about him is that James Booker, the great piano professor, was in the parish prison at one point and could get out as a trustee. And he'd been on drug charges. He was pretty harmless except to himself. And apparently, you know, the story goes that the young Connick would get lessons in his father and mother's living room from the trustee, James Booker, the great piano player. And so, you know, Harry offers that as a source. And he also offers the fact that Ellis Marsalis was his tough love teacher in high school at the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts. So he has two piano giants that came before. And, you know, the fact that he's white and the sheriff's son has been not important to people. People don't see color so much as attitude in New Orleans. I think that's a good thing about the place in many settings. That's not always true. But Connick's great. He's just a great player and a great entertainer, and people appreciate how much visibility he's brought to the city.
And, you know, he's been performing to raise money for the evacuees of New Orleans, and he went back to New Orleans since the hurricane. Today we're thinking about the people of New Orleans and the people from Mississippi and Alabama who were displaced by the flood. And as we think of them, we're also thanking New Orleans for one of the many things it's given the world, its music. And we're hearing from some of the great New Orleans musicians. Also with us today is Nick Spitzer, who is a folklorist and the host of the public radio music series American Roots. Nick, the next person we're going to hear from today is Alan Toussaint, who has a really interesting place in the history of rock and roll, one of the great behind-the-scenes figures. In fact, he used to fill in on piano for Fats Domino, who you were talking about earlier when Fats Domino was out of town for recording sessions. And he wrote Toussaint wrote the songs Mother-in-Law and Working in a Coal Mine, It's Raining. Hmm. He produced Dr. John's album, Right Place, that had the hit Right Place, Wrong Time. He produced Nightbird, that had the Patti LaBelle song Lady Marmalade. And would you talk a little bit about the importance of Alan Toussaint and what he means to the city of New Orleans now? Is he still musically active?
Oh, he's very much active, and I think I've always loved his last name, Toussaint, or Toussaint, as some people would say. And it in French, it's, you know, it means All Saints, and he is really best understood as part of that Creole Catholic tradition. His people came from upriver, and he grew up sort of upriver part of New Orleans above Carrollton area. And He's a mingler of those sort of old frilly kind of Creole runs on the piano with a kind of a basic R&B sensibilities. Very dapper gentleman. And while a lot of his songwriting hits and arranging occurred in the 60s, he had later collaborations with Paul McCartney and the band. And he, is kind of known as a bon vivant figure. He walks around in white suits with, sandals and drives an old Rolls. And, he's just a beloved sort of down-home aristocrat of the music in the city. And very genteel, sweet man. So he's just had his hands on the piano and in an awful lot of pies around the city. And, he's one of those people that if we'd lost him in the storm, I think the sense of the future possibility of New Orleans would be quite diminished.
Do you know how he fared during the storm?
Well, he was missing for a little while. Well, everyone was missing, I suppose, depending on how you define it. But he turned up in New York, and I've been hearing him, on radio and elsewhere. And, I think he lost the Steinway down on the first floor of his house and some of his studio. But he said the second floor is fine. And, he made some comment about how I'm the music, so it goes on. And, I think he's going to do just fine. And it's people like him coming back to the city and getting going again. That's going to inspire a lot of people. I hope he gets back soon.
And with us for today's edition of Fresh Air is Nick Spitzer, who is a folklorist and, of course, the host of the public radio music series American Roots. And Nick, that song, It's Raining, how is it sounding to you right now?
Well, it's nice to hear him do one of his own songs because I think he delivers them with gentlemanly flair and soul as only he can. That song, it really embodies a part of how I feel about the loss we've encountered in New Orleans. I mean, it's raining. The scene is, the woman alone and she's in her house and she's thinking, about, the love that's not there. And I think that's how I feel about the city. We're not there. It's been raining. That's one of the reasons we're not there. This is how some of these songs that seem just like love songs or highly personal individual relationship songs maybe come to stand for bigger things about a place and a people. And a good song has an ability to be reused and re-loved in many different ways. And Toussaint's written some very, very good songs. There are no coal mines in Louisiana, working in a coal mine. I suppose mother-in-law is a universal in a kind of comedic sort of way, but, it's deeply tongue-in-cheek. So all of his music just, I think, wears incredibly well. And then there's the quietness of him. He's just arranged and helped so many people over the years. So, it's his songs just remind us of where we've come from whenever you hear them.
Well, Nick, thank you very much for being with us, and I wish you and your family the best, and thank you again. And I certainly look forward to hearing that show that you're doing on the music of New Orleans.
Well, hearing your voice gives me hope. I like those familiar voices.
Nick Spitzer is the host of the public radio music series American Roots. He spoke to us from the studio of KRVS in Lafayette, Louisiana, where he's evacuated from New Orleans with his family. The next edition of American Roots, called After the Storm, will be dedicated to the music of New Orleans.